This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
At this point, the pilots are just fighting with the plane. They can't regain control, and they are unaware of the cause. On October 29, 2018, the Boeing 737 MAX crashed in the Java Sea just minutes after takeoff, tragically killing all 189 people on board.
Tonight, we will uncover how unchecked greed within Boeing and how it led to catastrophic consequences, not only in the boardroom, but in the skies, where lives were tragically lost. Tonight, the betrayal of Boeing. When corporate greed took flight, the innocent paid the price. I am your host, Winnie Schrader, and it is time for Mysteries, Mayhem, and Merlot. Let's hit it. Hi, and welcome to my first ever Mysteries, Mayhem, and Merlot. I decided to take on a big task, and the reason for that is aviation has always been a part of my life. Even at a very young age, I would go to air shows with my dad. I've even flown a plane. The love for aviation has even carried down to my 19-year-old son, who is on his way to become a commercial airline pilot. Though with the latest news, you know, it's as a mom, it has given me pause. And it's given me some worry about my son's chosen path. You know, once again, Boeing has made its way in the headlines. And it's not for the annual Boeing golf tournament. So what happened to Boeing? It was this American institution that broke barriers in commercial aviation. And it took pride in its Boeing culture of safety, ingenuity, and innovation. To now it's turned to a quantity over quality standard. A company that took pride in its craftsmanship. Now where the old saying goes, I hope you get there in one piece, is more literal now than ever. And that goes for the plane too. Now in the opening of the show, I showed you a flight simulation of Flight Lion Air, Flight 610, the 737 MAX 8, and the recorded audio, just to give you a little insight on what that crew and passengers probably went through in those last moments. But that was the fuse that sparked the outcry for justice and accountability for Boeing. And rightfully so. So, you know, after the crash, there's speculation and everything. And after an event like that, you really need to wait until you get the data. And that's what they had to do. They had to find the black boxes. They found the black boxes, and they got the data. Well, then, of course, the pilot came into question. Captain Bahave Sunji was a 31-year-old pilot with over 6,000 flight hours, 5,000 of those hours of which were flown in a 737 aircraft. Of course, his training was put into question by Boeing and the FAA basically stating that if they were American pilots, they would have known proper protocol. Well, Bahave completed his training in California with American flight trainers. Now, the 737 MAX 8 was marketed and sold to airline companies as basically just an updated model. It didn't require any flight simulation training, which was a huge selling point because that's very expensive. And of course, airline companies want to save money where they can, right? So it was basically just like this turnkey situation. Now, the only requirement pilots had was they had an iPad training. It was like a 2-hour training, just going over the new bells and whistles of what the 737 MAX 8 had that the 737 MAX 7 didn't. So it was just kind of like buying a new car. Now, once the flight data came out from Lion Air, people were a bit perplexed. When you looked at the data, they were wondering what was going on with the nose up, nose down commands. Well, when you zoom in, it seems like every time the pilot would nose up, the MCAS would nose down. MCAS? What's MCAS?
Enlighten me!
Well, don't feel stupid. The pilots didn't even know what it was. MCAS, Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System. Basically, the MCAS system was to help automate the horizontal stabilizer of a plane for a smoother pitch control to avoid stalling out while the pilot was in manual control of the plane. But by the evidence given, this was the cause of the crash. But why? Why would a plane have such erroneous behavior? Now, the NTSB released the preliminary report of Lion Air Flight 610. And Boeing put out a statement stating that on October 28th, before the flight immediately prior to Flight 610, the pilot in command and the maintenance engineer discussed the maintenance that had been performed on the aircraft. The engineer informed that the pilot that the AOA sensor had been replaced and tested. The report does not include records as to the installation or calibration of the sensor, nor does the report indicate whether the sensor was new or refurbished. All the report states is that the pilot was satisfied with the information relayed by the engineer that the AOA sensor had been replaced and tested. On the subsequent flight, the pilots again experienced problems with erroneous airspeed data and also experienced automatic nose trim down. How did he fix the trim issue? That's a good question. The report does state that during that flight, they did cut power and turn the switches off to the horizontal stabilizers. They just had to manually trim the plane. So they did land safely in Jakarta. But the following morning, that information was not relayed to that crew. So when they got into the plane and took to the skies, they had no idea what was about to happen. Now, that's on Lion Air for not having proper log and maintenance records. That is a huge oversight that could have been corrected. Now, the FAA and Boeing officials insisted that the pilots lacked the proper training on how to counteract the MCAS system. Once Boeing said that, though, it kind of opened Pandora's box and put a nail in its own coffin because pilots' associations and groups alike were dumbfounded. There was a collective question, what the hell is MCAS? That's alarming. How could pilots not know that this software was on their plane? Meanwhile, Boeing is scrambling for damage control behind closed doors, but publicly saying that it was just a lack of training issue. So the FAA deemed the 737 MAX 8 safe to fly, but did not think it was necessary to ground the plane at that time. Well, then of course, the blame game gets worse. Boeing workers slam Lion Air officials as idiots because they asked for more training on the 737 MAX and leaked text messages sent nearly a year before the fatal 2018 crash that killed 189 people. But I thought all they needed was like a 2-hour iPad training to fly the 737 MAX 8. They didn't need simulation training, according to Boeing. Now, Boeing saying it's a lack of training issue.
In a private meeting with American Airlines pilots, the company finally revealed to them the existence of MCAS.
These guys didn't even know the damn system was on the airplane, nor did anybody else.
there was a clandestine recording of that meeting.
So we try not to overload the crews with information that's unnecessary, so they actually know the information that we believe is important.
We flat out deserve to know what is on our airplanes.
I don't disagree.
In that meeting, Boeing tried to insist that if the MCAS system failed, pilots were the backup.
To which we responded, you've got to be kidding me. I knew nothing about the system. How can I be the backup that you so heavily depend on if you don't even inform me?
Oh, Boeing, you are making me spicy. You're damn right those pilots deserve to know what's on their planes. And then you have the balls to state that it's a lack of training issue? And it just keeps getting better.
Story, and the emails are pretty incendiary, Phil.
They are, and this is just a few of them. 100 pages of light reading, Becky. We're not going to go through all 100 pages, but this issue with these messages, these text messages, emails, etc., communication between whether it's technical pilots and engineers at Boeing Commercial Airplanes, it gets to this point, and Joe needs to listen to this. The concern amongst regulators, the concern on Capitol Hill, is that Boeing had a culture where when it comes to the MAX, they did not want to have any simulator training because that would make it more attractive to sell the plane to airlines. And these messages reinforce just that whole culture of, look, what do we have to do in order to tell the regulators, to convince the regulators that simulators are not regular, are not needed for the MAX? Here's an example. One employee to another says, would you put your family on a MAX simulator trained aircraft? I wouldn't. The other employee answers, no. In another message, one employee says, I still haven't been forgiven by God for covering up I did last year. Basically insinuating I was covering up against a regulator who was checking some of the work that I was doing. And then there are some of these messages. Look, you're going to get this when you have thousands of employees sending tens of thousands of messages. This airplane is designed by clowns who are in turn supervised by monkeys.
Now, these are the people that we are entrusting with our lives in the skies.
Ooh, yeah.
So the final report came out from the NTSB stating that the AOA sensor was defective and it was sending that bad data to the MCAS system, which caused the malfunction in the horizontal stabilizer. Now, at this time, Boeing said that there is a software update that was needed to correct this issue, and that was going to take about 6 weeks to roll out. They did draft a bulletin stating the procedures and protocol on how to counteract the MCAS system by cutting the power off if you were having a runaway stabilizer issue. But at this time, the FAA is still deemed the 737 MAX 8 safe to fly. 5 months later.
On March 10th, 2019, all 157 people lost their lives on Ethiopian Air Flight 302. Last transmission was at 8:44 a.m. on March 10, 2019. The last words from the captain were,
Baby!
This did not have to happen. This shouldn't have happened. Boeing said that it would be good. Remember that pesky little AOA MCAS software problem that they said that was going to fix the issue? It was going to take about 6 weeks. 5 months later, it's still no update. And then we find out this. Let's watch.
When we finally got the preliminary black box data from the Ethiopian crash, we called up Dennis Tasier, an American Airlines 737 pilot, and sent him the data, and we read through it together.
My mission was to provide them, I'm in the cockpit, I see what's happening now. So we walked through each line and I had no idea what was in it. I knew that the crew had an experienced captain and a lesser experienced first officer.
We go second by second through the few minutes of this flight.
Going through the steps that the pilots had taken and saying, yep, I would have done that. Yep, I would have done that.
And as soon as they lifted off the ground, all these different alerts started popping up. The airspeed was unreliable. The altitude was showing unreliable. There were alerts related to that. But they bring the gear up and they continue to climb out.
2 minutes into the flight, based on faulty data from the AOA sensor, MCAS kicked in and began pushing the nose down.
Don't sink.
And I have very clear memory of noting a time mark where the first officer is quoted as saying, stab, trim, cutout switches, which takes the weapon away from MCAS, which is what Boeing told us to do. And I have to confess, I probably swore. I said, the kid got it right. That kid got it right.
What had happened was the pilots did do what they were supposed to do. They had cut the electricity off.
Don't sink.
They hit these switches, and they tried to take manual control.
The first officer is reaching to this large wheel on his left, and that's the manual trim wheel, and trying to turn it. It's like lifting up a 10-ton bucket of cement out of a deep well.
The problem was, at that point, the plane was going so fast that even after they took manual control, they could not physically get the plane to right itself. They shouldn't have been going that fast.
Too low, terrain.
And they're continuing to accelerate towards the ground. The ground is approaching them.
Then, with no apparent recourse, the pilots reached for the stabilizer switches.
I'm yelling into the cockpit. Don't do that. But I don't know what they're facing.
Caution, terrain.
MCAS was reactivated.
MCAS says, hey, I'm back on. Here we go. And now the airplane is in near full nose down trim, and you can pull back forever. And there's not enough metal in the back of the airplane to make that airplane come up to a nose up.
Terrain, terrain. Pull up. Pull up. Pull up.
That was courtesy of PBS's Frontline documentary, Boeing's Fatal Flaw. That was really alarming to watch, knowing that these seasoned pilots were taking the data from Ethiopian Air and Lion Air and applying their knowledge and experience and still having the same outcome that the young pilots had. But it was great to know that these giants in the aviation industry started speaking out. Dennis Chodger, that you just saw in the documentary, he said it was like a Tasmanian devil in there. Every time you made a gain, it made a double gain back on you. And he's a seasoned 737 pilot, and he's also the communications chair for the Allied Pilots Association. And then we come to Sully. Remember Captain Sully? He was famous for landing the jumbo jet on the Hudson River. Well, he said Boeing made a good aircraft over the years, but this is a radical departure from that. This should have never happened. Well, of course it shouldn't have happened. None of this should have happened. And what's sad is it was so preventable. But I'm glad that these giants, like I said, are speaking out vocally across the board, and they continue to do so to this day. Let's take a look.
Meanwhile, this morning, Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger, known as one of America's best-known pilots, is weighing in. Sullenberger, famous for that radio call during a harrowing emergency landing.
We may end up in the Hudson.
Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger saved the lives of everyone on board during the miracle on the Hudson landing back in 2009. Now, with the 737 MAX fleet grounded, Captain Sully is criticizing the FAA for letting Boeing conduct certification inspections on itself, saying it has created inherent conflicts of interest. In a MarketWatch op-ed, Sullenberger also writes, Boeing and the FAA have been found wanting in this ugly saga that began years ago but has come home to roost with two terrible fatal crashes. A former NTSB chief agrees.
It's not a question of whether the FAA has enough resources and enough talent to do the job. It's their responsibility to do the job.
Understaffed and underfunded, Congress allowed the FAA to delegate more authority to Boeing to certify the new 737 MAX meets FAA criteria.
Wait a minute. First of all, you're not going to speed past that like you didn't just say what you just said.
Talk about putting the fox in the hen house. I used to be in the mortgage industry. I wasn't even allowed to talk to home inspectors. It was a federal crime if I did. I tried to sway them in any way. But last time I checked, buying a house didn't kill you. Why was MCAS even needed? Well, in 1967, Boeing came out with the 737. It was a hot ticket item for airliners because you could take a good amount of people short distances. It was a plane of its time, though. You can maybe only have about 80 people on a flight. Now we're just packed in there like sardines, but Boeing stuck with what worked. Now, the 737 has changed shape and size throughout the years, but when Boeing's rival Airbus came up with the A320, that got Boeing on the edge of their seats. They had to come up with something, so introducing the 737 MAX series. But then when Airbus decided to come out with the A320neo, it had these big, beautiful, fuel-efficient engines on it. Well, Boeing wanted a piece of that pie. So they built these beautiful, big, fuel-efficient engines. Well, instead of designing a plane around those, they just decided to slap them on the 737 and call it a 737 MAX 8. Well, there was a few engineering issues. The engines were too big. There wasn't enough ground clearance. So they just decided to flatten the bottom sides of the engines. They took it for a test flight. That's when they noticed they had a nose-up problem. Engines were too powerful, causing the nose to come up too much. Introducing the MCAS system. That's why it was introduced. It was because of bad engineering practices. Now, if they would have designed a plane around those engines, they would have never needed the MCAS system. But where did Boeing go wrong?
Well, we're waiting.
In August of 1997, Boeing acquired McDonnell Douglas Corporation for $13 billion. It was the largest merger in aerospace history and 10th largest in our country. Now, McDonnell Douglas was the company that was behind like the DC-10s and the DC-9s, but they were a more profit-driven company. So when they merged, McDonnell Douglas was the one that got in that boardroom, and it completely changed the culture at Boeing. Okay, so now at this point, two planes have crashed. It's come to light that Boeing has been covering things up and lying to the federal government. So now what? How do we hold them accountable? Well, the Department of Justice decided to build a case against Boeing, and of course now they had to face Congress. David Muhlenberg was the CEO at the time, and he had to face Congress and listen to all the evidence mounting up against Boeing. Now the family members of the victims of the crashes decided to show their support for each other and let Boeing know that this was not okay.
The committee confronted Muhlenberg with an array of internal Boeing documents.
Next slide. This shows that Boeing became aware that the disagreement
was important.
Does appear
from this that Boeing understood how important
the pilots didn't know about this? Is unacceptable.
Boeing's marketing representatives emphasized to potential customers that FAA had reduced the length of pilot training. That
slow reaction time scenario, 10 seconds, found the failure to be catastrophic.
For those families, the pain of this was accentuated because this evidence that was going up on the screen was information that they felt that Mr. Muhlenberg could have used to inform his decision about keeping the plane in the air. Or not.
We do know that Boeing engineers actually proposed placing a MCAS enunciator in the cockpit.
Are we vulnerable to a single AOA sensor failure
now,
with the MCAS?
As you emphasize, flight control will now compare inputs from both AOA sensors. And I guess the question is, why wasn't it that way from day one?
It was a good show, but his back was to us. And he never looked at us, Michael Stumo said, whose daughter Somaya Stumo was killed in the Ethiopian crash. Somaya's mother, Nadia, yelled at David Muhlenberg to say, "Turn around, look at the people, and you say you're sorry," she said, prompting Muhlenberg to turn around and He met her eye before saying sorry. He later resigned as board of director in the aftermath of the two crashes. Although he forfeited stock that was worth about $14 million, he was still contractually to walk away with $62 million in stock and pension awards. Now, overall, the congressional hearings on Boeing's role in Lion Air and Ethiopian Air crashes served as a pivotal moment for aviation safety oversight and accountability and reform. It did shape the trajectory of aerospace industry and influencing the regulatory policies for years to come.
All right, my little army of darklings, you know that I would follow you into the gates of hell and beyond, holding your hand in proud battle. So I'm going to ask you to trust me on something. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by just about every overpriced wireless provider out there, if I've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, yeah, all right, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't a catch. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings on directly to you, my little darklings. I can tell you, making the switch has saved me hundreds of dollars, and that's no exaggeration. With all that we had going with our phones and the amount of phones that we had on our plan, it was insane. And every carrier was the same, overcharging, overpricing, and fees I wasn't expecting. So say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans and those jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered to you on the nation's largest 5G network. So now you know what I know and understand why we made a change in the Schrader home. It's time you do that as well. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. There is a $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions do apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
The tragic crashes of Lion Air Flight 610 and Ethiopian Air Flight 302 exposed fraudulent and deceptive conduct by employees of one of the world's leading commercial airline manufacturers, said Acting Assistant Attorney General David P. Burns of the Justice Department Division. Boeing's employees chose a path of profit over candor by concealing material information from the FAA concerning the operation of the 737 MAX airplane and engaging in an effort to cover up their deception. This resolution holds Boeing accountable for its employees' criminal misconduct, addresses the financial impact to Boeing's airline customers, and hopefully provides some measure of compensation to the crash victims, families, and beneficiaries. Okay, now that David Muhlenberg has stepped down, who's going to want to get behind the helm of this sinking ship?
No, 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 no! Hell no! 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 I refuse! No! No!
Well, Dave Calhoun decided to step up to the plate. Now, he promised he was going to get Boeing back to the basics. Get it back to a company that was built by engineers for engineer for the love of engineering. But did he? Well, let's take a look.
Putting seriousness of putting something together and putting it together right, because it takes seen a lot of things that should not go on at an airplane plant. People talking about doing drugs, looking for drugs. Never seen anybody or heard of anybody having to take a random urinalysis. As far as I know, random drug tests just don't happen.
A bowling worker decided to take a hidden camera inside the bowling plant in South Carolina. The audio is hard to understand, but basically he was just telling them that, hey, they'll just hire anybody off the street. They're not skilled workers, and you need skilled workers to build the plane.
That's really comforting to know, isn't it?
Passengers were thrown to the ceiling on this flight from Australia to New Zealand, with at least one seen here attended to on the floor mid-flight.
It felt like, you know, when you are in a roller coaster and you just go
knowing
like
that people are actively taking narcotics while putting planes together is a little unnerving.
More than 300 feet, leaving 50 people injured, several sent to hospital.
I just realized I'm not in a movie. This is actually for real.
Canadian Brian Jokit was on the flight and took these pictures showing emergency crews boarding the plane after it landed in Auckland.
The pilot came to the back and I said, what was that? And he...
There's no accountability, even with drug testing.
Said, I lost control of the plane. My gauges just kind of went blank on me.
It's the latest in a string of terrifying incidents involving Boeing jets. A tire fell off this 777 taking off from San Francisco last week, smashing cars below.
They need to go through a serious transformation here in terms of their responsiveness, their culture, and their quality issues.
The New York Times reports the plane maker recently failed 33 out of 89 audits carried out by U.S. regulators. Boeing tells CBC News in a statement, "We continue to implement immediate changes and develop a comprehensive action plan to strengthen safety and quality."
Boeing's culture has changed over the last 15 or 20 years, and it's showing up in terms of the issues that we're having with this new generation of airplane.
Airlines, including WestJet, are awaiting their new MAX planes, but the company is slowing production as the FAA demands a plan from Boeing by this spring to address concerns over quality and safety.
So, Thomas, you mentioned slower production, but how slow are we talking about here?
Look at it this way. On a monthly basis, Boeing is making fewer than half as many MAX jets as it would want to. And for its clients, this is a big deal. Southwest Airlines, largest domestic carrier in the U.S., it's looking at cutting its flight schedule later this year. United Airlines considering taking its business elsewhere to Airbus. And here in Canada, it's not at all clear whether WestJet is going to receive the 22 new MAX planes that it intended to by the end of next year.
Wow. Thomas, thank you.
You're welcome.
What happened? Why, Dave Calhoun? I thought you promised that you were going to right this ship. And yet, almost every other week now, it's just continuous issues with parts falling off of planes. How are parts falling off of planes? That's a good question.
Work in the plant is significantly behind schedule and plagued by production errors.
Ah. Well, I guess that explains this.
Caught on video just as the door flew off. Check out the new images that we have actually obtained showing that horrifying moment on the Alaska Airlines flight. A passenger on board brave enough to roll on this moment. The airline now issuing a full refund to the passengers as well as an extra $1,500 as the investigation into what happened continued. Is that even enough?
Now, there are people out there that believe in doing the right thing. One of the biggest voices out there was John Barnett. He was boots on the ground at Boeing. He saw all the things that they were trying to cover up, and they even asked him to do it.
Now, the John Barnett was found at Boeing asked one of his coworkers was one of the craziest things he'd ever seen here. And his response was kind of alarming. He said that he has seen people bash rivets and studs, and even though it's not a proper fit, just to get it down the line.
A retired Boeing employee turned whistleblower has been found dead of an apparent suicide. John Barnett was a quality control inspector at Boeing for 32 years. After his departure in 2017, he filed a complaint about the company with federal regulators in the U.S. and spoke publicly about what he called catastrophic safety concerns. Boeing has denied those accusations. Officials say Barnett died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was 62 years old.
His family doesn't buy it. Now, the coroner reports and police reports say it was suicide, but it doesn't sit right with me either. I mean, why would a guy give up so much and sacrifice so much to do the right thing and not finish the job? It just doesn't make sense. Now, after delving into the deception and corruption that precipitated the tragic crashes linked to Boeing, it's crucial to reflect on the profound repercussions of such malpractice. The stories we've uncovered underscore not only the devastating loss of lives, but the erosion of trust in institutions tasked with ensuring our safety. The aviation industry stands as a testament to the human innovation and progress, yet it's also susceptible to the dark impulses of greed and negligence. Boeing's missteps served as a stark reminder of the immense responsibility borne by corporations entrusted with the safety of millions and passengers worldwide. Moving forward, it's imperative that we demand accountability, transparency, and ethical conduct from all stakeholders in the aviation ecosystem. Only through rigorous oversight, genuine commitment to safety, and a steadfast dedication to learning from past mistakes can we hope to prevent a similar tragedy from occurring in the future. Let us honor the memory of those who perish in these avoidable disasters by striving for a future where integrity and safety are paramount and where the skies remain a symbol of progress rather than peril. But there is one more question to ask.
Did you fly on one?
No.
You won't fly on one. Did you fly on one of these planes?
Not really.
Did you fly on one of these
Probably not.
Did you fly one of these?
Yeah, it's sketchy.
Sketchy?
Yeah, I probably would, but I'm having that wish too.
Our source asked 15 of his co-workers if they'd fly on the Dreamliner. 10 said no.
I wouldn't fly on one of these planes.
You wouldn't? Why wouldn't you?
Huh?
Why wouldn't you?
Because I see the quality of it going down around here.
This episode is dedicated to all 346 people who lost their lives at the hands of Boeing, and also to all who give the continued effort to keep Boeing accountable and to keep being a voice for consumer safety and consumer rights, and to be a voice for change so those who lost their lives did not do it in vain. Thank you for listening to Mysteries, Mayhem, and Merlot. I am your host, Winnie Schrader, and until our next case, my fellow armchair detectives, stay safe, stay vigilant, and stay aware. I'll see you next week right here on the Paranormal 60 Network.